Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
Doing good, Justin. How's it going, man?
It is going well. We're going to wrap up the AFC today with the AFC East. A less than thrilling division to talk about.
The AFC least is what you said, right?
Yes. So, I mean, people wonder why the Patriots seem to just roll over that division every year. Go take a look at the rosters of the other three teams.
It's pretty brutal.
It really is. So we'll be getting to the Patriots here in a little while, but we'll start with the Buffalo Bills. I guess typically we'll start with quarterback. That's the way we've been kind of typically starting. Josh Allen is kind of he's getting some hype, to say the least, right now. Are you buying in on it?
I don't mind him. As a guy that always waits on quarterback, I don't see why he's a bad option. He's kind of a less sexy Lamar Jackson, if you really think about it. Really awful at throwing the football and not very many weapons on this offense, but he can always run it. So that's kind of what I'm looking for whenever I'm waiting on quarterback this year. I'm looking for a guy with some upside, but I don't have to pay a lot of draft capital for. So, you know, him, Lamar Jackson, guys like that, that, you know, usually whenever you think of a professional quarterback, they don't really come straight to the forefront of your mind, but they're useful in the fantasy aspect.
He is like the perfect QB2 in your Superflex leagues. I just, you get the, especially get the, if you get in a league like the Scott Fishbowl where you get the bonuses for rushing and in first downs and things like that. He can, you know, get some sneaky good points there. My big concern is with Allen is my same concern with Lamar Jackson and pretty much any quarterback that can tend to be run first is they tend to get hurt.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, you're not spending a lot of draft capital on these guys, so. You know, out on the waiver wire, there's going to be boring guys like Phillip Rivers, like Matt Stafford, like Kirk Cousins, possibly. So there's easily replaceable guys if you're in a one quarterback league, you know, standard 12 team. There should be some replacement level guys on the waiver wire. So
here's the thing: in a two QB league, there isn't.
Yeah, in a two QB league, definitely not. So there is that baked in risk whenever you're drafting either Allen or Lamar Jackson. So for me, in my Scott Fishbowl, I drafted Lamar Jackson as my first quarterback. Then I paired him with Matt Stafford, and to be safe, I drafted Nick Foles. So, you know, I have a couple, you know, not as sexy guys to back up Lamar
Stafford.
Jackson.
Stafford at his price, though, is...
Yes.
Like, I don't understand why Stafford is going as late as he's going in some of these drafts.
Me either, especially if, you know, the back thing was the real detriment last year. Love him coming in the season. So, yeah, so pairing a guy like Allen or Jackson with, you know, a safe guy like Stafford or even Kirk Cousins or Nick Foles in a two QB league is perfectly fine with me. You know, you're going to get something out of the games that they miss.
You know, in his defense and the Bills' defense, they have an improved offensive line. I mean, a lot will depend on, you know, their right tackle, Cody Ford, the took in this year's draft, in depending on how well that that unit comes together. But it should be a better offensive line than we saw last year. That being said, it's hard for me to take him as my QB1 in any format. You know, he's strictly a QB2. I like the upside, but the floor is so low, especially with a guy who, like you said, doesn't have a lot of offensive weapons around him. He's a run-first guy, so he's going to be taking hits that normal quarterbacks aren't used to taking. And you just wonder how long that body can hold up for.
Well, at least his build is a little bit, bigger, kind of like a Cam Newton as far as a build-wise.
How has that worked out for Cam Newton? Cam Newton's been banged up quite a bit. You know, Marcus Mariota, another one of these guys, has been banged up quite a bit. You know, if you want to go back in time and look at, the Michael Vicks and the Steve Youngs of the world that were run-first guys, like, they missed time to injuries because of this. I mean, and we're playing in probably an era of the NFL where these are the best athletes on the defensive side of the ball that we've ever seen. Now, they protect quarterbacks a lot more. Still, if you're out running in the open, you're going to get creamed at some point.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like you touched on, the weapons around him are pretty much abysmal. To be honest, I mean, whenever you get a running quarterback like Josh Allen and he's running from side to side looking for someone to throw to, you don't want to look up and see Zay Jones and Cole Beasley and John Brown.
Let's talk. You might about not the be able
to see them.
Yeah, let's talk about the wide receiver core. Are you drafting any of these guys?
No, I don't think so.
John Brown is like one of those guys that has been a darling of a lot of people in the industry for a long time. I was never a John Brown guy, just too inconsistent. I don't know that that Josh Allen has a good enough deep ball to get him the ball where he needs to have it.
Yeah, and I think the only guy that might have some interest for me is Robert Foster. We saw a rapport towards the end of the season with him and Allen. But even then, he's a guy that you could probably scoop up on the waiver wire.
I love Zay Jones as a physical talent. But man, does he drop so many passes. he's one of those guys, and I guess you can throw like Devontae Parker, who we'll talk about here in a little bit, in with this group or Funchess in with this group of guys that have all the physical gifts, but not enough upstairs.
Yeah, unfortunately for Allen, he's not working with a lot this year.
No, it's pretty bleak. Like I saw a couple people who were like, "Oh, Buffalo is my sneaky sleeper of the year." Like if Buffalo wins 8 games this year, I will be shocked. Like their defense I think their defense could be sneaky good. But that offense is going to be atrocious.
Yep, it'll be Josh Allen running around the whole entire time, pretty much.
Speaking of atrocious situations, LeSean McCoy is currently the starter. Frank Gore appears to be in line for the backup role at running back. They drafted Devin Singletary, I believe, in the 3rd round. They also have TJ Yeldon on this roster. Are you investing in any of these guys?
This is a mess. Like a complete mess. We know everywhere Frank Gore goes, he goes to snipe away carries from the guy that we really want to draft.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, there's not really anybody that we really want to draft out of this backfield. Going into the beginning of the offseason, I thought TJ Yeldon might have some sneaky value, but like you said, they spent a 3rd-round pick on Devin Singletary. LeSean McCoy is still there, although I don't know if he'll be there at the start of the season. So that being said, this is a 3-4-headed monster that I really don't want anything to deal with unless it's a best ball.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that McCoy is there to start the season. I think he's going to get cut. I think there's a very good possibility that he isn't on this team, which will clear some things up. It'll mean that it'll be kind of a two-headed monster between Frank Gore and Singletary. I like Devin Singletary, but the hype machine going on him right now is a bit out of control.
basically on all the rookies right now. It's pretty much out of control. But
like, this is not that good of, I mean, outside of Josh Jacobs, like, this is not that interesting of a running back class, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I don't see any tool in Devin Singletary's shed that's going to, you know, put him far and away even the guys. Yes.
Like, there's no way he is an every down back at the NFL level, especially as a rookie. And, like, they've got all these veterans that they've brought in. I think he can be a useful piece. But if people think he's going to get 15 to 20 touches, I think they're a little insane.
I mean, in their defense, who else is going to get those touches?
Frank Gore.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get the first and second down work, but if he's going to be out there every third down, they're going to be seeing a lot of third downs.
Like, but are they going to be converting them? So does it matter? I just don't know that. I mean, I think Singletary's got some value. Let's see where he's going in terms of his ADP, but he's currently going as the 52nd running back off the board, 152 overall, going right behind Adrian Peterson and right in front of Justice Hill.
I'd like Justice Hill. Yeah, I'll take Justice Hill over him.
Would you rather have Devin Singletary or Kareem Hunt?
Singletary.
Singletary or Dante Foreman?
Foreman.
Singletary or Austin Eckler?
Eckler.
Okay. Singletary or Mike Davis?
Mike Davis, baby.
Like, why does everybody hate Mike Davis? I only had like six drafts so far this year, and I think I have six shares of Mike Davis.
I think I'm right there with you.
Like, I don't get what's going on here, where everybody thinks that David Montgomery is the starter, but they didn't sign Mike Davis to an off-season contract for nothing.
Yep.
So
completely agree.
We'll get there with the NFC North probably next week. Let's keep moving on with the Bills. Is there anything left to talk about with the Bills?
Not really. Tyler Kroft is kind of okay, but he's on the PUP right now. Yeah. So no one else in this offense is someone that I'm looking for.
All right. Let's go ahead and just move right along. Talk about the Miami Dolphins. So let me start with this. Do you want to draft anybody on the Dolphins?
You know, I don't mind drafting Kenyon Drake. I really don't.
Tell me why.
Let's see. So he didn't really get a fair break with Adam Gase. I'm perfectly fine with him as, you know, my third running back, but I'd have to start off like running back to get him based off his ADP.
Because he's currently the 22nd running back off the board, 48th overall.
Right, so that's about fourth or fifth round pick. So there really isn't a discount. There seems to be a lot of hype and buzz around him. But you know, I really don't mind it. I really think that, you know, given the chance, he could have 20 plus touches a game.
Do you think he is going to get that? Because not only do they have Kalen Ballage on this team, they drafted Miles Gaskin as a kid I like, as like a late sleeper kind of pick, especially in your deeper formats. I don't know that he's going to get that kind of workload.
I mean, he does have some risk. Especially going at that ADP, because we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it before as far as a huge workload for him. Kalen Ballage had a nice little coming out party for, what, 3 or 4 weeks at the end of the season last year. But the offense as a whole should be a little bit better with maybe Josh Rosen at the helm. I mean, it can't be any worse with Ryan Tannehill.
What makes you think that? I mean, we talked about this, I think, on the last episode. It is the worst offensive line in football, and it is not close. Like, I feel bad for Josh Rosen, where he went from one of the worst offensive lines in football in the Cardinals to the unquestioned worst line in football. Like, dude is just going to be on his back again. And who knows? I don't even know that he starts the year as the starting quarterback. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick might.
Well, there you go. Fitzmagic. Then everything's going to work perfectly.
Yeah, right.
So are you not drafting Drake then at that ADP?
No, I'm not.
So where would you feel comfortable taking him?
I don't think it's an awful ADP. There's just guys going after him that I think I prefer. Give me Sony Michel. Give me Penny. Give me Lamar Miller. Give me Darius Geis. There's just too many guys going after him that I'm more interested in. Especially because, like I said, this line is so bad that I just don't trust really any of the weapons. The only guys you're gonna see me end up with on this team are guys that are like super late sleepers, and mostly for Dynasty League. So I already have a couple shares of Miles Gaskin, and then I've got a few shares of Preston Williams. And like that's it for me. Like I don't want to deal with Kenny Steeles. Like there are some people, I actually have one share of Devontae Parker in a best ball already, just because he was going so late. But there are like some people who are still trying to make him a thing.
Like, they've been trying to for 4 years now.
I know. And I don't know how much I have to say. You cannot get open in the NFL if you cannot get off of press coverage. it just won't happen. And like Devontae Parker's biggest issue is he does not know how to fight off of press coverage.
Yep.
So, anything else to talk? All right, Mike Gesicki?
Yeah, in a two tight end league. Yeah, like Scott Fishbowl. I definitely would have drafted him, but I think I got sniped by him actually.
I've got him. So in that our was Dynasty a little league.
Upsetting. Okay. Yeah. So I really don't mind him. I think he could have some upside in this offense. I mean, where else are you going to get it from? There's Albert Wilson kind of still hanging around there, who's had a few flashes before injuries. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if Rosen's at the quarterback helm, it's going to be pretty much slim pickings to find a wide receiver one on this team. But if Fitzpatrick's the starting quarterback, then he might just be throwing it up, the whole time. So
this could be the worst team in the NFL this year.
That's a very fair point.
Like I honestly believe they are going to be giving the number one overall pick a run for their money.
Yeah, and then they'll probably have to spend it on a lineman.
Yeah, because how awful would that be for Josh Rosen? 2 years he gets drafted in the first round. So year two, fucking the Cardinals take a quarterback with the first overall pick, and then year three, the Dolphins take a quarterback with the first overall pick and get rid of him. Kid is never going to have a chance, and it's really not. Like I actually like Josh Rosen as a talent.
Me too.
But there's not much he's going to be able to do if he's throwing from his back the whole time.
Yep, definitely.
All right, well, this is going a lot faster than I thought it would. We're already through two teams at 17 minutes. So,
well, this one will take a little bit longer.
All right. Tom Brady. I hate the people who are like, oh, Tom Brady is like disrespected. He's underrated. Dude has six fucking Super Bowls. He's not underrated. Like, fuck you guys. Like, he's not underrated. But in terms of fantasy, is he underrated this year? Because he's the 21st quarterback going off the board, going right ahead of Josh Allen, right behind Jimmy Garoppolo coming off of ACL surgery.
Yeah, I'm not drafting Tom Brady this year. I really think that they're going to be... No. I think I like Josh Allen better at the price. I like Matt Stafford, who we already talked about. I like Lamar Jackson just going six picks ahead of him. So I don't think I'll be in the Tom Brady business this year.
I think as a very, very safe QB2, I mean, you can't do much better. Though I'll tell you, in two QB leagues, if I don't get Patrick Mahomes, I'm totally fine this year waiting till like late to get both my quarterbacks. I mean, all the guys who, for instance, I've got the Barf League draft. And we use Superflex. And typically the entire first two rounds are just virtually filled up with quarterbacks. And usually I'm in on that. This year, like, these are the guys going 13 through 24, which are your QB2s in a 12-team league. Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, Rivers, Trubisky, Prescott, Cousins, Lamar Jackson, Garoppolo, Brady, Allen, Carr, and Stafford. I would be stoked to have a loaded offense and Brady and Stafford as my, you know, two QBs in a two QB league.
See, I really don't like Brady this year because I think they're going to run it all season. I really think they're going to try and limit his, you know, his passing, kind of save him for the playoffs. He lost his best weapon this offseason. And there's actually a lot of question marks at the wide receiver position
Julian Edelman. Who do you lose as his best weapon?
Rob Gronkowski.
Just stop that. He hasn't been his best weapon for like 3 years.
Still, he's a distraction for the defense.
Best weapon back for the entire season.
I'm just
saying. And then they drafted their next best weapon.
You know, I love N'Keal Harry. I'll give you that. I do love him. But Tom Brady, I think they're going to be running it all season. They have Sony Michel, and if he's healthy, he's shown he can be a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah, I love him.
They drafted Damian Harris, who could step in that role if Michel goes down. Mm-hmm. They still have Burkhead. They still have James White. So even if he is throwing it, he's throwing it, you know, down, you know, to James White, to Julian Edelman. You know, he might throw a couple bombs to N'Keal Harry. But other than that, you know, there's not a lot of speed, a lot of production on the outside.
Yeah, that's fair. Wide receivers, are you worried about this thumb injury with Edelman?
I'm not. No.
No, I'm not either. Where are you taking him?
He's a baller. He's
currently
going
15th wide receiver off the board, but that won't be for long because Tyreek Hill has been going like in the first round of drafts.
So the way I've been drafting so far, if I get a late pick, I'm usually going wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So I'd be perfectly fine with him being my wide receiver two if I draft like a wide receiver running back first two rounds, mm-hmm. Or my wide receiver three. I really don't mind going
wide receiver.
Exactly, and I've done it a lot, so I would not mind that at all, especially in a PPR.
I'm right there with you. Like I love him. I like him where he's going. So we both like N'Keal Harry. Where are you taking him? Because he's currently he's going way later than I thought. 116th, 117th overall, 47th wide receiver, going right behind Marquez Valdez-Scantling and right in front of DeSean Jackson.
So would you rather have N'Keal Harry or Marvin Jones?
Harry.
Harry or Kiki Kuti?
Harry.
Harry or Fuller?
Ooh, Fuller.
And Harry or Corey Davis?
Davis.
Okay.
But I think
so
he could be going in that area. Like going around, what did I say, 47th wide receiver. I think he should be going just inside the top 40.
Yeah, so that's around pick number 37, the guys I was just naming off. So for me, I'm jumping his ADP probably by 20, and I'm putting him in that 37th wide receiver off the board.
Yep.
So right after Sterling Shepard for me, there's not a lot of guys after him and between him and N'Keal Harry that I like more than N'Keal Harry.
Yep, I'm putting him right in that same spot. I probably put him in front of Shepard, but I think that's where he should be going. Yeah. We just talked about Sony Michel a little bit. Where are you taking him?
You know, I took him in the Scott Fishbowl. I was not expecting to get him. I figured that the hype would be a little bit too much for me to handle. But
people
right now he's the 25th.
Him.
Yeah, they really are. He's the 25th running back off the board, right after David Montgomery and sandwiched right next to his buddy James White, mm-hmm. Who also got in the Scott Fishbowl. So, you know, in a PPR league where you're playing zero RB, I love it. You know, he's not going to offer a lot in the catch department. You know, there's a lot of other guys on this team that's going to have that role.
But that doesn't mean he can't catch the ball.
Yeah, right. And he's going to have, you know, an every down role as long as he's healthy. So I think he's going way too late.
Me too. Anything else you want to talk about with this team?
I love James White. Perfectly fine with him being my RB2 in a PPR. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind drafting Damian Harris. I really don't mind it.
Kind of a must-have if you draft Michel.
Yeah, definitely. And in the past, we've always preached just wait on the New England running back. And mm-hmm. so They drafted him in the third round. If Michelle goes down for whatever reason, James White's not going to be able to carry that workload. Neither will Rex Burkhead. And so they're just going to pretty much hand it off to Damian Harris. I really believe that.
I agree.
All right. What about the tight end?
It's Benjamin Watson. He's suspended for 4 games. So, are you interested in Andrew Beck in the meantime, or Matt LaCrosse? I just don't think there's an interesting body here necessarily.
Steven Anderson has some athletic ability.
Yeah, I guess.
But
I don't know if he makes a
deep
team,
league. Yeah, deep league, two tight end league. Two tight end league. I'm actually drafting Benjamin Watson. I think he could be that productive.
I think, yeah, once he gets back, you're just going to have to be able to hold that dead spot for 4 weeks. And I don't know how many people are going to be able to do that in the majority of leagues.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the Patriots. Let's, I guess, talk about the New York Fighting Jets. This is a little bit more interesting, at least, than the first two teams we talked about in terms of fantasy value. They go out and they get Le'Veon Bell. They go out and get Jamison Crowder. They go out and get a new head coach in Adam Gase. Are you excited?
No, not at all.
You don't have a ton of Sam Darnold shares?
No, definitely not. He's going right around the range of Matt Stafford. So this should be the Matt Stafford podcast. I think it'd be a lot better than this AFC East.
Yeah, I still don't understand why Matt Stafford is going as late as he is. But yeah, if I'm picking out of between the two of them, or really in that area, I'm going to go in Matt Stafford, 9 out of 10 times. I don't know that I'll have any shares of Sam Darnold, he's at least got some talent around him. You know, it's not like the Josh Rosen situation. There is a crappy offensive line in front of him, but Robbie Anderson's got talent. They signed Inouye to a long-term deal last year. I love Jamison Crowder, and he seems to be fitting really well, I guess. All the reports coming out of camps are that Crowder is going to be kind of that main guy in the slot. I've already got some shares of him. My big question with this team is, like, where do we draft Le'Veon Bell? Because he's taken a year off, so he should be healthy at least. But this is obviously a much worse offensive line and offense to play in. Is he worthy of a top six running back spot? Because that's where he's currently going.
So after the top five for me, I'm just pretty much not even touching running back unless Mixon falls or Chubb falls. I don't want anything to do with Bell, Gordon, Connor, Cook, anybody like that. So, you know, with Bell, he's the only guy really on this offense that's worth a damn, honestly. Wow. Sam Darnold could just kind of throw the ball to him every time he's in trouble. So in a PPR, I could see him getting, you know, about 80 catches, honestly, because I don't really see anybody else on this team getting 80 catches.
I think Crowder.
No, I mean, we've all been down that hole before. I loved Crowder going into last year, but I can't do it again. And you're just impartial, so you don't count.
I love Crowder, and I think this is just a much better situation than Alex Smith buying quarterback.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, not much better.
Better. You're right. Just, it is a bit better.
Yeah. So, but Le'Veon Bell's going to be, he's going to be facing a crowded box. I mean, there's no reason for him to be, you know, facing five guys in the box. So it's a risky play for me. What about you?
Yeah, I have a hard time pulling the trigger on him, especially like as a top 10 pick, because that's kind of where he's been going. And I'd much prefer him like in a 14-team league, like at the wheel. But I just don't think you're going to see him there very often. And even that, like, it's so hard looking at the other talent around in the ADPs to really want to kind of invest a, you know, first or early second round pick on a guy who is really in a really awful situation. I mean, would you rather, like, you know, grab him or get Michael Thomas? Like, I'll take Michael Thomas.
Yeah. And we've never seen a guy come off of a year missing and you know,
well, I mean, how many guys have really tried? You know, it's not like this is kind of this is a very unique situation because typically guys coming in off of a year absence is either because of injury or they were drummed out of the league. Like that's not the case. He was in the prime of his career and took a year off. So I'm not necessarily as concerned about that. I'm more concerned about the line in front of him and, like you said, loaded boxes every week.
Yeah, and then for me, whenever it comes to draft season and I'm sitting there and I'm staring at Le'Veon Bell, I kind of look at the guys going around him in ADP, like you said, Michael Thomas, and it's easy to talk yourself out of Bell because of the loaded box, because of the situation, because a year coming off. So you just kind of weigh the narrative or weigh the negatives against guys going in that range, and most of the time you're going to come out without Le'Veon Bell, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Honestly, he should be going in the same area as Gurley, Cook, and Chubb. Like, he should be going around pick 17, 18, 19, as opposed to, you know, pick, what, 8 or 9.
Yeah, so would you take him at 17, 18, or 19?
Because
he does have a max pick of 18, so there's a chance.
I think I would take Gurley over him.
Okay, Gurley goes right before you. So you're staring at Bell, Cook, and Chubb.
I think I'll take Bell in that scenario, but I'm assuming in that scenario, Odell Beckham, Travis Kelce, or Juju Smith-Schuster are going to be there too, or one of
no,
them.
No, literally the only three guys are Bell, Cook, and Chubb. That's it.
So you're saying that I've already taken DeAndre Nikhil Hopkins Harry. With my yeah, first true. Pick, and now I'm in the second round, and those are my options. I guess I'll take, especially because I've got the stud wide receiver already. Yeah, I'll take Bell. I'll take the shot on that upside.
So I'm actually going to go with Chubb.
I have no problem with that decision.
Yeah, if I'm faced with that decision, I'm going to go Chubb.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all.
So, and if I'm faced with Bell or Cook, I'm going to go probably Nikhil Harry.
Wow, that's bold. All right, board bet. We haven't had a board bet yet. I'll take Bell. You take Nikhil Harry.
No, I'm not gonna do that one.
No, okay, just checking. The wide receivers. Are you investing in any of these guys, or are you just gonna stay far away?
No, nope, I'm gonna stay far away. Robbie Anderson's a one trick pony. We've seen,
but he's a really good one trick pony.
Okay, but so is DeSean Jackson, and he's not a week by week starter.
Yeah, but who's going to be throwing the ball in Philadelphia when Wentz is hurt?
Wentz won't be hurt. You're Mr. Negative.
He's been hurt every year. Like, he's never not been hurt.
I'll take a hurt Wentz over Sam Darnold every day.
I would too, but what if he's not on the field?
They'll probably trade for Nick Foles again.
That'd be awesome. Oh, man. All right. I don't have a problem with Robbie Anderson, especially considering where he's going. I mean, he's going in the Christian Kirk area. Though, I mean, here's my one problem with it. I'll take Corey Davis over him. I'll take Will Fuller over him. I'll take Cortland Sutton over him. And those are all guys going behind him in ADP.
What about Nikhil Harry?
Yeah, I'll take Harry.
Yeah. So in a best ball, I don't mind Anderson because I don't have to be frustrated with those weeks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, not in a redraft.
All right. I'm with you on that. Anything else you want to talk about? Talk about Herndon or he's suspended for 4 games.
Yeah. I mean, before the suspension, I was interested. Now I'm really not. Is there anybody behind Le'Veon Bell that you're interested in? And like Ty Montgomery, Elijah McGuire?
No, because I think it'll just be a mess. Like, I think if something happens to Le'Veon Bell, it'll just be a hodgepodge of these guys.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I actually did just get my first share of Sam Darnold as my QB3 in a best ball.
Hey, QB3 is not bad.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well,
that was a brutal division. It was a brutal division,
but we did it quickly. We pulled the Band-Aid off fast. A podcast in under 40 minutes.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, especially for us. Usually, I mean, we didn't make a single board bet.
Yeah, I don't really think. Patriots are going to win this division.
Yeah, I'm okay on that one.
How about a Jamison Crowder one? Let's do a Jamison Crowder one.
All right. Let me go to the ADP and see.
Let's just do. I'll do over under 60 catches on the year.
Make 55.
Okay, fine. I'll take the under.
I'll take the over. That's fine. Okay. I think that's an easy one for me to demolish you again with. So yeah. Good. We got our contractually stipulated board bet into the podcast. Our board bets are brought to you by Cardboard. we don't have sponsors on this show. Let's be honest. You just got to listen to the ad before and after the podcast. That's how we get paid. The 25 cents an episode we get paid. So that'll wrap us up for this episode. What are you working on, Colin?
So I'm working over at QB List. We got a lot of podcasts going out, a lot of content being pushed out every day. Just did a mock draft that there should be a write up on as well. And then I think I should be doing a baseball podcast later on this week too. So still turning and burning in baseball season.
And where can you be reached on social media?
You can find me at CWeatherWax13.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. I'm not doing any football content other than this podcast. I'll probably write some in-season articles. I typically do like a betting article on Sunday mornings for the Sunday games. But other than that, I'm not freelancing anywhere else for football. But you can still catch my baseball content over on FanGraphs and the Sleeper in the Bus podcast, as well as Friends of Fantasy Benefits and TGFBI. And that will wrap us up for this episode. For Colin and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.